So in April of 1842, King Kamehameha III chose three special envoys to represent him and his government. This was in response to repeated threats to the sovereignty of his kingdom and other island nations throughout the Pacific region. And so he appointed and commissioned three special ambassadors, and he sent them to the United States, to Great Britain, and to France. They were Sir George Simpson, who was a highly influential head of a very large, well-established, internationally recognized trading company; Reverend William Richards, who was a former missionary. He had arrived in the islands 20 years before and had become a translator, a personal friend of the king, and was a trusted political advisor to the king; and Timoteo Ha'alilio. He was a personal friend of the king. He was a political leader and a government official. And King Kamehameha III gave them, the three ambassadors, a very specific and special mission. He sent them to petition for the formal diplomatic recognition and support of the sovereignty of the Kingdom of Hawaii as an independent nation. He gave them this assignment with written instructions. And those written instructions empowered them to speak and to act with full authority in his name, the name of the king, as if the king himself were there. Now, when King Kamehameha III did this, he was not doing something new. The choice and the commissioning of ambassadors is an old practice. We have records of royal ambassadors from the earliest records of civilization. And I'm saying this to you because the Spirit of God led through the Apostle Paul the declaration that those who are made new in Christ are ambassadors for him. And so we want to be talking about that. For the next several weeks, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ. What does it mean to be the one who has been sent with special mission in Christ's behalf? We're going to talk about what that is and how to do that. And of course, we're going to accomplish that by referring to and building from the message of Scripture. Because we know that in Scripture we have the clearest and surest signs and voice from God. We know that when we come to Scripture, we have what is true, what is always true, what's true in every situation, what is true for every person. So would you join me in prayer that we'll be ready in these coming moments to receive what it is the Lord wants to reveal and to respond. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you have given us that record that we can depend on. We're grateful that you speak to us even now by your Spirit through Scripture, through truth as you reveal it to us. And so we ask that you would open our hearts and minds as we proceed, and we'll be careful to give you the glory for the results in the name of the one who made that revelation possible. Amen. So I want to go to the familiar passage, familiar to some of you, that's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it is revealed indeed that we are ambassadors for Christ. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now all these things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them, and he has appointed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For Christ, who knew not sin, God made sin for us so that we might become righteousness of God in him. So verse 20, many of you have heard this verse before. We are ambassadors for Christ. This actually echoes something that Lord Jesus said to his followers. It's recorded in John chapter 20. This is on the evening of the day of resurrection, the very first day of resurrection. That evening, most of them were gathered together, and Lord Jesus appeared to them, and he said to them, it's recorded in verse 21, John chapter 20, verse 21, just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now, he had told them this was going to happen. I shared it with you in the opening passage that I read in John chapter 17 in his great prayer when he talked about, to the Father, I'm going to be sending them as you sent me. And so he declares that to them, just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Are you going, wow? You get that. This is Lord Jesus. Just as the Father sent me, I also send you. We are ambassadors for Christ. And there are some characteristics and responsibilities of ambassadors that we know from Scripture. And the first characteristic is that those who are ambassadors are mature. This comes from the core meaning of the word that's translated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, ambassador. It's a word, it's not a word that at its core, at its heart, really means like representative. It means one who is mature. And so how do we measure? How do we recognize what it means to be mature spiritually in order to be a representative for Christ? Well, what the Bible tells us is that maturity is indicated by the degree to which we are like Jesus. That's about as simple and as clear as I know how to put it. It's repeated over and over. What it means to be and how we know whether or not we are mature spiritually in Christ is whether or not, and to the degree that we are like Jesus. One of the places that's described is Romans chapter 28. Many people know what verse 28 says, but they want to drop off to verses 29 and 30. But you don't know what 28 says if you're not paying attention to verses 29 and 30. So I'm going to read all three of those verses. Romans 8, verses 28 to 30. And we know, to those who are loving God, all things work together for good, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those that he knew would come to trust him, he determined that they would become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he, his Son, would be the firstborn among many brothers. Are you paying attention? The intention is that those of us who would trust the Lord would become conformed to the image of his Son. And the reason is so that there would be many, many more people who would come into the family of God. That's what it says. So that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. Verse 30, and those whom he predetermined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So to be mature in Christ as an ambassador is to be like Jesus. Now, there are two parts of this that I want to point out to you. First, there has to be a beginning. We cannot become mature until we become. We cannot mature until we're born. There has to be a start. There has to be a beginning. And in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's described as being in Christ. Therefore, anyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things passed away. How did that happen? What old things passed away? Well, it's described in verse 19 as God not counting our wrongdoings, our trespasses, our offenses against us. And in verse 21, it says that the Father has made the Lord Jesus sin, the one who knew not sin. He made him sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There has to be a beginning, and that beginning starts with old things having passed away. Now, some of us are still being held back by the old things. It may be regret, it may be shame, it may be habits that we have not let go of. We think sometimes that habits won't let go of us. That's not the way that works. Now, if you're still plagued by old habits, it's you haven't let go of the habits, right? But in Christ, all things have passed away, and he is not counting our offenses against us. I was with a group yesterday morning. There was a brief discussion about the difference between small sins and big sins, and what we ended up saying is there ain't no difference. I mean, a trespass is a trespass. A wrongdoing is a wrongdoing. Now, there may be differences in impact. There may be differences in influence and how many other people are affected. But for you personally, when we disobey God, we are disobeying God. We are removing him from his proper place of lordship in our lives and taking that place for ourselves. That is a serious offense. That is a capital offense. That is, it doesn't matter how small or how big the offense is. When I take the place of God in my life, I am guilty of an offense that I cannot pay the penalty for. And so when it says old things passed away, what it's saying is that God has done what we could not do, and he has removed that guilt from us and not counting those wrongdoings against us. Instead, as it says in verse 21, made Christ sin, who knew not sin, in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, which is the other part of the beginning. And that is, old things are passed away, but we are now new creations. We are new creatures, it says in verse 17. And it's repeated in verses 17 and 18, where it says that all things now become new. The old things have passed away. All things are new, and these are things of God. For in verse 18, it says, we are reconciled. God has reconciled us to himself. We know that God created us for relationship with him. He created us with the capacity to have fellowship with him. He created us for that. God created us for that personal connection with him, and he makes that available to us. But we have made the choice. We have made the choice to go our own way. We have made the choice to ignore who God is. We have made the choice to ignore the life that he makes available to us, and we have separated ourselves from God, and that is not a separation that we can bridge. But in verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that God through Christ reconciles us to him. He bridges that gap that we created. And it says again in verse 19, God in Christ reconciling the world to himself means bridging the gap, means bringing us together. And in verse 21, that we might become righteousness of God in him. Now let's take a moment with this righteousness thing, okay? I mean, there are so many people. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks. After this series, we're going to talk a little bit about the righteousness that God calls us to. But people will tell you that righteousness means you got to be morally perfect, personally pious, and holy, and all that is great. But that's not the righteousness that God does with us. Righteousness means that we are fulfilling our responsibilities and opportunities in our relationships. That's relationship with God and relationship with one another. And we have broken that with each other in our sin and with God. And so we have moved away from the righteousness, the faithful fulfillment of those opportunities and responsibilities in our relationships. And again, that is not a breach we can bridge. It's something that only can be done in Christ. And so it says that in verse 21 that though he knew not sin, God made him sin on the cross in our behalf as our substitute, as our representative, so that we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in him. Are you going, whoa? I mean, that's amazing to celebrate. It's so amazing, but this is the beginning of what it means to be in Christ. We're not going to be ambassadors for Christ until we're mature. We're not going to be mature until we have this beginning of coming in Christ, accepting this great work of God in our behalf, that all things passed away, not counting our wrongdoings against us, but rather transforming us and making us new creatures in him. And that's something that happens when we trust Christ. I'll say more about that in just a few moments. But that is the beginning. But that's not the end of being mature, for it is indeed a process. That's how we're born spiritually. We can't become mature until we're born spiritually. But once that happens, then we grow into maturity to be more and more like Christ. Again, it's described repeatedly in Scripture. One of those places is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Spirit says to us through Apostle Paul, but we all, with uncovered faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of God, of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That's a description of this process that's going on as we are becoming more and more like Jesus. It says we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So I want to make sure that you're clear that what it means to be an ambassador of Christ, an ambassador for Christ, it means that we are mature, and it also means that we are reliable. And to be mature means that we're like Jesus, and that has a beginning when we first receive the substitution of Jesus that transforms us, gets rid of the old things, creates us new, and then is a process that we become more and more like Jesus, and so then we also are reliable. Ambassadors, again, think about the example I shared of King Kamehameha III. He sent them off. They didn't have telegraph. They didn't have WhatsApp. They didn't have ways for him to be in contact with them over the months that they were gone, far, far, far away. He had to be able to trust them. And that's what it means to be reliable. An ambassador of Christ is unquestionably, faithfully trustworthy. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again, the Spirit speaking to us through Apostle Paul. And he says, verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, this is the way a person is to look at us, to regard us, as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. A steward is a manager. Steward's not an owner. A steward is a manager, someone who's managing something that's owned by someone else. Verse 2. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. An ambassador is one who is mature, like Christ, and is reliable, unquestionably, faithfully trustworthy. Those are the characteristics that we know from Scripture. There are responsibilities I'm going to mention to you too. First, an ambassador is a representative. I think you're clear about that. I just want to point out to you how we know that from Scripture. And one of the places I want to do that with is what's recorded in Luke chapter 10. Now, some of you are aware that there was a point in the earthly ministry of Jesus that he sent the 12 out into cities without him to do ministry, and they came back and they celebrated what God did through them. But then the Bible says then he sent out 72, and I'm going to read about that beginning with verse 1 of Luke chapter 10. So it's Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Now, after these things, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Therefore, he was saying to them, "Truly the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into his harvest. Go. Behold, I myself send you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Do not carry a money belt, nor bag, nor sandals. Greet no one along the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. But stay in that house, eating and drinking what they provide, for worthy is the laborer of his wage. Do not move from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you,'" which, as you know, was the repeated message that Lord Jesus delivered. Then verse 16, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, but the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." This is an example of what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. As you pay attention to these instructions that Lord Jesus gave them, you recognize that he sent them as the mature, reliable representatives who would represent his values in the way that they conducted themselves, would represent him in their actions and what they did on the trip, would represent them in the conduct of the mission. He gave them specific assignment. These were his representatives. If you are an ambassador for Christ, then you are a representative of Christ. We are to be the representatives of his values, what he stands for, what he's about. We are to be representatives in our actions, how we conduct ourselves and how we interact with other people. Representatives in accomplishing his mission. That's what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. We are his representatives. And a part of that means, as you know, being his messengers. We are the messengers of Christ. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us what that message is. In verse 18, it says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So the way that God has brought us together with him and with one another in Christ, that's our mission. He's given us that ministry to bring people back together with God and to bring people together with each other. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And in verse 19, it says again, he has appointed to us the word of reconciliation. That's our message. That God is in Christ reconciling us to him and to one another. That's our mission. That's our message. And so that's why in verse 20, Apostle Paul says, it's as if God is making an appeal through us, be reconciled to God. You want to know what you want to be sharing with people? There it is. There's no secret. Be reconciled with God. You don't have to remain separated from God. You don't have to remain separated from one another. You can come together in Christ. We can be reconciled to God. So we are ambassadors for Christ. That means that we are mature, reliable representatives and messengers for Christ. So what? So what do I do with this? Well, I want to suggest to you three questions. The first one is, are you made new? The Bible says that for anyone who is in Christ, we are made new, and those are ambassadors for Christ. are you made new? It's described for us in Romans chapter 3 in this way, beginning with verse 22. But God's righteousness is through faith, trust in Jesus Christ for all who trust. For there is no distinction, for all sinned and are lacking of the glory of God, being made righteous as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Are you made new? Have you accepted this gift of grace, the righteousness of God in Christ by grace through redemption in Christ Jesus, who is a payment that reconciles us? Now, some folks pause right here and they're going, yeah, but I mean, what do I have to be forgiven for? I'm not going to argue you or debate with you about your need for redemption. I just want to tell you that Scripture is clear, and my own personal testimony is clear as well. Every single one of us falls short of the glory of a perfect God, and falls short of the glory that you were created to experience. God made you for phenomenal experiences with Him in this world and in the next life. God has created you for glory. How was last week for you? How much of the glory of God did you experience last week? If you're like me, then you recognize that you, as I did, fell far short of the glory for which God has created us. Beginning right here and now. We haven't even started talking about what he has in store for us in the next life. I mean, right here, right now. We all are lacking in the glory of God. And so we all need to come to him for the restoration and redemption of the falling short. And that only comes, as the verses I just read to you from Romans 3 says, through faith, through trusting him. Trusting him means that we acknowledge that we have not lived up to our own potential that he created us for, and that we have disappointed him time and time and time again. And that wrongdoing that puts us in charge instead of him is an offense that we cannot pay for, as I mentioned earlier. And that the only way that we can be restored and made new is by trusting him. By trusting him for the forgiveness to take those old things so they would pass away. For trusting him for transformation, to make us new. For trusting him to empower us to deal with those challenges that we're dealing with right now, today. And for all of the future that he has in store for us in this life and the next. When we trust him, we are transformed and made new. Have you done that? It's not about how often you go to church, though I think you ought to go pretty regular. It's not about how many good things you do. It's not even how much of the Bible you've memorized. It's not about how often you pray. It's about whether or not you trust Jesus to receive the substitution that he offers for us when he was made sin for us, for you, and for me. We trust him as our substitute. Some people call that trusting him as Savior. And we acknowledge him as the Lord of our life. Have you done that? If you're not sure, or if you haven't, you can't right now. You can trust him. There's not some special word or prayer that you have to pray. There's not an incantation that produces this as if it were some kind of magic. It's just a surrender, taking yourself off of the throne of your own heart and life, and putting him in his rightful place, acknowledging that we have failed him, receiving his forgiveness, and declaring him as the Lord of your life. You can do that in the words of your own heart, out of the sincerity of your own heart. And I would encourage you to take a moment to do that. I'm going to keep speaking. I have a few other things I want to say before we finish. But right now, the most important thing, if you're not sure you've ever done that, or if you know you never have, right now is the time. Right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Because later it's going to get easier to say, well, you know, I don't know. Right now, if this is what you sense the Lord's calling you to do, you want to do that right now as I continue in the quietness of your heart. If you want to talk about that, you have questions about that, please come and see me after the service. Or if for the first time today you trust Jesus as your substitute and acknowledge him as Lord of your life, come and see me. I want to celebrate with you. We want to encourage you. But until you're made new, the rest of what I've been sharing today is not relevant to you. Because I've been talking about being ambassadors for Christ. And you're not an ambassador for Christ if you're not, first of all, in Christ. That's what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. Those are in Christ. So trusting Christ is what it means to be in Christ. Are you made new? If so, then the next question is, are you mature? Are you maturing? Are you growing to be more and more like Jesus? I've already shared with you one passage. I'll share with you another one that describes the same thing. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 11, the Lord gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the full preparation. That word means mending, it means restoration, it means equipping, it means arranging, it means bringing to its intended condition. For the full preparation of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of Christ, so that we are no longer children, tossed here and there and carried about by every wind of teaching and the trickery of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming, but truthing in love, we are to grow up into him in every way who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Is that a description of what's happening in your life? Are you mature? Are you maturing? There are some specific things we need to do. Maturing doesn't just happen. If you make a financial investment, it doesn't mature without attention. If you plant a young plant, it doesn't mature if it is not cared for. If there's a baby that's born, that baby doesn't become mature unless the baby has the support that the baby needs and responds to that. And so the Lord matures us with his indwelling spirit. When we receive Christ, he indwells us by his spirit. And we, though, have to be sensitive to the spirit that indwells us and obey that spirit as the spirit leads and speaks to us in order to mature. The Lord gives us the tool of prayer. And so we have to remain in continuous communication with him in order to be able to mature and become more and more like him. The Lord gives us the gift of truth in Scripture, but we got to study it. It doesn't get the job done sitting on the table or in the shelf. It's how is that truth of Scripture being built into your life? Are you studying it? Are you meditating on it? Are you memorizing it? Are you actually applying it to your life? And he also gives us community. He gives us this experience that's a local church. Are you participating in a local church? Are you participating regularly to be a part of a fellowship that is holding one another accountable and encouraging one another to become more and more like Jesus? Have you followed the Lord in believers' baptism? Have you committed as a member of a local church? Are you investing in the gifting that the Lord has given you for the ministry of that church? These are all ways that we give attention to our spiritual lives so that we become more and more like Jesus. Are you mature? And are you maturing? And then third, are you reliable? An ambassador of Christ is a mature, reliable representative and messenger. Apostle Paul gave a really an amazing testimony to his protege Timothy. It's recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He writes to Timothy, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has empowered me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service." Is that your testimony? As you review your character, as you review your conduct, can you share that same testimony? That you're confident that the Lord is finding you faithful. An ambassador for Christ is reliable. That's an indication that I've been going too long. It's time to quit. So let me bring it to a conclusion. I mentioned to you those three ambassadors of King Kamehameha III. They were sent to the United States, to Great Britain, and to France because they were the leading international powers at the time, and also because they had been plaguing and afflicting the Hawaiian Islands for a long time. And so he sent the ambassadors to these nations to recognize the sovereignty of the kingdom of Hawaii. And so on November the 28th, 1843, both Great Britain and France, in a simultaneous, planned, simultaneous declaration, recognized the sovereignty of the Kingdom of Hawaii. Other European nations followed in the months after, and though they had made pledges previously, it wasn't until July the 6th of 1844 that the United States government also did the same. Our Lord has used ambassadors to bring me to recognize his sovereignty. They were my parents first. They were Sunday school teachers. I'm old enough to remember that there was something called Sunday school that happened before the service on Sunday mornings. I went to a class. We used to call it the beginner's class. It was before we had screens like this. They used something called flannograph. I'll explain it to you up in the balcony. I can tell you about what that means later if you want to know. But this is how I learned about the Bible stories and the truth of the reality of Christ. The Lord used pastors of churches that we attended and then a particular evangelist at one time so that at an early age, I came to acknowledge the sovereignty of the Lord God in my life and receive Christ as my Savior. Unlike the rulers of Hawaii, Lord Jesus' sovereignty has never been threatened. But my recognition and embrace of his sovereignty was a crucial first step for me to experience all I was created for in this life and the next. And the same is true for you. There may be those that the Lord has used to represent himself and to bring his message so that you would acknowledge his sovereignty in your life. Now, he has passed on to you and me that same message, that same ministry. We are ambassadors for Christ. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what that's all about, and we're going to be faced with the challenge to be faithful to that calling, to be ambassadors. Would you join me in that experience together over these next few weeks? We'll be doing that together. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful this morning for your love and for your calling. We're grateful for the trust that you place in us, which many times, honestly, is so far more than what we have placed in ourselves. But we know that that's because it's not in our own power that we can be faithful, but only in you. And so we pray that as we are faced this morning with the calling to be your ambassadors, that you would help us to know the full impact of that calling. And that you would prepare us to be aware in these coming moments and these coming days to know how it is that we can do that to honor you. We give ourselves to you for that purpose in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand up and join us for our last worship song, the Revelation song. worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Of lightning, gloves of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Now may our Lord Jesus, who calls us out from the world to his assembly of the transformed, fill our minds with the truth that he is the living Christ, our hearts with his love for those still languishing under the illusion of death's power, our words with bold witness of his kingdom, and our hands with strong, consistent, enthusiastic labor to bring life to every place, people and person where death in any form still reigns. May he fill our fellowship with the absolute assurance of his faithfulness and the urgency of the need of the people we meet, that we may follow his calling and accomplish his mission at this time, in this place, to be life bearers and kingdom guides, his ambassadors for his glory and honor in our generation and generations to come, until he returns, possibly today, to bring us home. Amen.